Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the June episode of Banging Book Club. I'm Lucy Moon.
I'm Lena Norms.
And I'm Hannah Witten.
And this month we read The Game by Neil Strauss.
Yes,
oh boy,
we
did.
And we gamified a book club now.
I don't know. It's kind of like one of those really shit Monopoly games with family members that you don't like, and it goes on all night, and you're like, when is this game going to end?
Yeah. Can we just say as well?
It's one of the more painful games of my life.
For those of you that don't know, a quick summary. The game is a 500-page book written by a man who got completely indoctrinated into the PUA, which is the pickup artist, world in Los Angeles. It's set between 2003 and 2005, or 2002 and 2004. I'm not quite sure, but it's published in 2005. It's like the Paris Hilton era of LA.
Yeah, and she features in the book.
Does she? See, right, so I'm going to full disclosure now.
Wait, let's go around.
What does that mean?
I've been
Who read
really
the whole book?
Good.
Hannah's hand is in there.
I failed for the first time this time for a long time.
It's a really dense read in a way that you'd never expect. Like, I went 250 pages in, and it's incredibly repetitive. I think we can all agree
yes.
on that.
I think it needed to be way more heavily edited.
Like, yes. It's about 200 pages. Crap.
Yeah, this is 200 pages worth of content in 500 pages.
Yes. And it's really, it's a lot, but that does not justify me missing out. Missed out because I ordered it too late. That's effectively the reason. But I have read the end, and I've read three bits of it.
I've read 50%, and then I skipped bits. The whole way through and was like scanning bits, reading, and then I read the end.
It's like we basically like spark noted it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll fill in the gaps for you if you need it.
Thank you. Yes, I don't know the full like Courtney Love plotline, for example, but I'm not
That's
sure how
insane,
relevant that is.
I mean, I think it was more of a name drop, so you could put it on the back.
She's
she is heavily in it, but it's like
she lives in that house for months.
Yeah.
She's like she sticks around and hanging out for a bit, and he never has sex with her.
Yeah,
he never
games
her.
Yeah.
I think she'd be a hard woman to game. She's Courtney Love.
But tried to game her best friend.
Yeah.
Lisa. Or her guitarist.
We need a noise review.
Oh god,
gosh.
Does any of us really have a noise inside of us accurate enough to defend?
I'm sure I do. Like any physical repulsion noise.
I think mine is...
Our suffragette ancestors will be heard for these
noises. Yeah. My noise review is...
like a
shiver, like, get off me.
That's your literally...
best sound review ever so far.
So my therapist always notices my hand movements or tries to analyse them, and I was very much drawn to the pushing away. And I think that's what I want to embody in this sound review.
So it's kind of like a Tai Chi.
Yeah, that like, ew. Like, get away from me.
Mine is more like... like a hairball. Like
and then spit it right out.
Sorry, listeners.
But not sorry to Neil Strauss.
No. Because sometimes authors do listen to these.
Yeah. Before we start, I just wanted to say that... we can speculate all we want about his intentions after the book was written, but this podcast is about the book. So a few people have been tweeting me saying, you should read his second book, you should read like stuff around him, blah, blah, blah. One, don't have time for that.
There are other books that need to be read.
There's only so much airtime you can demand of three feminists who are just trying to live in the world. And we gave him 500 pages. So I think, one, there's two ways in English literature, there's two ways to analyse something, and that's in the context of history and an author's life and who the author is, and there's textual analysis, and what we're doing is we're just looking at what we've been given in this book.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that as a disclaimer.
I was literally gonna be like, I would like to add, because I do think it's relevant that he was treated for sex addiction following this.
Yes.
And was treated for severe depression.
And he mildly renounces this book and has written another book called The Truth.
In which you hear in very graphic like detail his rehabilitation.
Yeah. Mm. Angry Lena has written in her notes, "Also, if you haven't pulled your book out of circulation, publicly renounced it, or made steps to become an ally, I'm not interested in your truth book too. No cookie for you."
Yeah, I agree with that.
That was apparently note-taking Lena's mind on that. But I do think it was like weird because in The Guardian there's a picture of him like sitting, leaning against his really expensive Ferrari. And I'm is this that is fundamentally women's Ferrari. Like, we need that. Give that to feminism. If you earn the money and bought that Ferrari.
Awkwardly holding the baby.
Same photo shoot. He's a very strange baby. Man. But yeah, like, that's how we feel about, or that's how I feel about the rest of his work and how he might feel about the book now. But I think
because he's just still making money off it, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
100%. And things like, "Oh, I'm actually a really important music journalist." I was like, "I don't see it, mate. All I see is game money."
Yeah, and he also wrote a whole book following that on, what's her name, Jenna Jameson, the huge porn star. So it's like,
So I feel like, again, I think while he obviously sees the error in his ways, he seems to have only seen the error in his ways in the way it's affected his psyche and his life and how it's made him ill. He has never considered how it might have made the people that he's treated ill, and he's never given any, as far as I can see, any of his proceeds to any feminist like charities or anything that might help women or really recognise his privilege in any way.
Yeah.
So I say two's up to your other book, mate. I'm not paying £5.50 on Amazon for it.
He's a clever businessman.
Anyway, covering that. I thought before, I have some points to cover, but I thought before we did that, I thought we could just have a little therapy session. Is there anything we want to shout about?
Can I read?
Because there's a lot of feelings attached to this book. And I thought if you want to just get out, to be like,
I was just going to say, I think the main emotional feeling that I kind of felt throughout the whole book was, would this work on me? Could I be gamed?
Have I been gamed?
Yeah, well, my thought was, have I?
I definitely went on a date with a guy who I met on OkCupid, who effectively told me he was a pickup artist, but I didn't use the word pickup artist. He said that he coached men about like confidence and dating, but I wasn't aware of the PUA world at this point. But I just had no... Like, there was no context for me to be like, I was like kind of questioning it, like, what does that mean? What exactly do you teach them? Da, 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 da. And I just remember on this date feeling so uncomfortable. Like, he constantly, like, he was definitely negging.
Really?
But then,
go in for the listeners what negging is.
Oh, so negging is like a backhanded compliment that, or like very much an insult but disguised as like a bit of a joke. But the idea of a neg is to make the receiver feel really insecure and therefore
the woman,
want
to clarify.
The woman, really insecure and then make her want to impress the person that has negged them.
It's all about validation. It's a validation game.
But I just felt really uncomfortable on this date and I couldn't figure out why until I started talking to people about it afterwards, and then I learned about PUA and I was like, oh, that's what they're trying to do. But not successfully, but now, but I don't know, just...
I think we were all like, we were all DMing being like, we all feel uncomfortable and sad while reading it. I think that, how do you think it differs from our reaction to Men Are From Mars, when Men Are From Venus?
This is much sadder.
Yeah, I think so.
Because
too.
Not only for the guy's personal journey who, and so many men who channel their own insecurity into hating women or gaming women or thinking we are a prize or we are bitches or whatever. Like, that to me as a whole concept is just sad.
Yeah.
Because you dehumanise people. But... on top of that, the effect it's had, as you were saying earlier, about how many men have read this and it's validated
I've been in professional settings where men in their 40s have told me that they've read the game. And I'm like, weren't you just on holiday with your wife and kids? And he's like, yeah.
It's part of
that culture, and everyone hasn't been received in the right way.
Everyone says that it's like this guide and it helps, like it's helped a lot of men, like, you know, learn the game and pick up women and blah, blah, blah. But I read it and I'm like, surely any person with their head screwed on would read this and go, oh my God, this is awful. They all end up depressed.
Yeah, and they're great, like they're all not friends anymore.
You know,
it ruins everything.
It literally turns them into actual children in terms of how they don't know how to relate to each other.
And that's fully, and like, that's pretty much acknowledged in the book, only in the last like 20 pages.
Do you think that's because the rate of people actually finishing this book is quite low, and the first half of the book just seems like it's a really good idea?
Totally. I definitely think that's why.
People just haven't finished it.
Because it's a long book. And if we found it challenging, as people who have a book club...
Because basically, it's also, like, the whole thing, all of the pickup artists that, like, Neil Strauss's character, or his pickup artist name is Style, and so him and all... Style.
Can we just have a moment
Style.
To be like...
Oh, God.
Style.
It's a, Style is your
I'm
pickup
just
name.
Putting everything in 2003. I said to the guy, to these guys when we started reading that I was just picturing them all as Linkin Park band members because of the way that all of their outfits are described and all of their appearances.
I mean, which you see. Oh, actually, Lena hasn't seen pictures of Mystery yet.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah. Mystery's
one of the pickup artist characters. I was going to...
Yeah, he's one of the main guys. Yeah, we should always explain everything on this particular podcast because we
I'm
don't
assuming
want
you
everyone to read it.
Yeah, I really would say at the beginning, don't read it.
Don't read
this
book.
Not missing out. Like, you're not... and we're saying, oh, I wonder if... Oh, this is...
Make a sound review, Lena.
No! Oh, my God.
This is Lena seeing Mystery for the first time.
Who's meant to be the best pickup artist in the world.
This is all theoretically based on real life encounters, this whole book, by the way.
Yeah, they're real people.
Yeah, and the author is...
Oh, wow.
A real person.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, I was trying to picture the eyeliner.
Yeah, he's not repulsive.
But he's peacocking. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
With his outfit.
With the top hat. They weren't exaggerating, were they?
No, he wears a fucking top hat.
Something for me that made it, like, objectively shit, and why it's, I think it is dangerous, is because it's written in this very, like, blinkered way, where it's just like, I'm going to tell you my story. I was great. Everything was great. I was fucking all these girls. It was amazing. Blah, blah, blah. And only at the end, it becomes self-reflective. Whereas, like, if it was a good non-fiction book, at the beginning, he would put out the premise, be like, here's how I felt at the beginning. Here are some of the things. And, like, self-commentated the whole way through and been like, here's some things that happened on reflection. Blah, 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 blah. And, like,
I do feel like there is some self-reflection throughout it all, though, I think.
Yeah.
But it's not... Yeah. It's, you need clear signposting. Really, that's the thing. And we were messaging each other saying, is this a self-aware book? And we'll discuss that a bit later. But, like,
there are so many weird moments where he is... like really self-aware, and I'm very confused by it.
But do you think it's because he's remembering himself favorably?
Yes, I do.
I think there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, this is your
Hannah and I have just whipped out our quotations.
I know, but my Kindle decided to not save all of mine, so I'm
I've
just
got
like,
one that's like a non, because every time I'd find what I thought might be a bit of self-awareness, a quotation like this would counteract it. And this is literally maybe my least favourite. I've got a list of quotations that just make me sad.
Yeah,
okay, this is in a moment right towards the end of the book where he's with this girl called Lisa, and him and Lisa are like together and they really like each other, and she kind of comes in drunk and is like, I like you so much. And she's like, I went out tonight. I was the prettiest girl in that room.
Oh, God,
and then
I know
he says, and then he says to her, this is, in the romantic moment says, I've spent 2 years meeting every girl in LA, and out of all of them, I chose you. And then he comments on saying that and says, it was the most beautiful thing I'd said in a long time.
It's not, I know, I read that. It was like, bad.
Yeah. Everything else you've
said. I'm sorry, did you think that was beautiful? He literally also,
I chose you.
He prefaces that by saying that he got out loads of jars of scrap pieces of paper of girls' numbers that he'd been given over the last 2 years. And just
and
like,
he was like, those piles of them.
They piled them out in front of this woman and goes, yes, screw all these women, I chose you.
What's this, Pokemon?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's just...
But so here's one. A quote that... One of the few that my Kindle decided to save. The problem with being a pickup artist is that there are concepts like sincerity, genuineness, trust and connection that are important to women. And all the techniques that are so effective in beginning a relationship violate every principle necessary to maintaining one. And it's interesting because he proves that that's right, because like all of the men he meets are very successful at picking up ladies, number closing, kiss closing, having sex with them, maybe having like an ongoing sexual relationship, but they cannot for the life of them have healthy, normal relationships.
Yeah. Oh, another really sad example of this, they can't hold down relationships, is, do you remember the 19-year-old Caroline in it who's got a kid?
Yeah.
When he's trying to reassure her he's not going to run away from her, he says these sentences, these lines, and then he says, I told her blah 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 blah, it was a line I learned from named pickup artist, but I did believe it. And then he says another line, and he says, this is a line I learned from this pickup artist,
it's psychopathic.
But when I said it to her, I did believe it. And then his final line, he's like, and I made that one up myself.
Oh my God.
Like, who are you?
However, do you not think there is like something in that of like with romantic relationships when we try and like express how we feel about somebody, we are effectively repeating stuff, or like repeating stuff that we've heard or something that we've, you know?
Yeah, maybe
to some extent. Like, how many ways are there to say?
The thing is, his idea of cheat sheets, and again, I'm racing through stuff here, but when mystery, so his kind of like accomplice in crime, so to speak, is suicidal, he calls up a doctor friend of his who's also a pickup artist, and the doctor friend says, ask him this series of questions, the suicide questions you ask people, like, do you think about killing yourself? Da 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 da. Sorry, we should trigger warning this. And he writes them all down, puts them in his pocket, and refers to it as a cheat sheet, which is exactly how he refers to the lines he uses on women. It's like his entire world has become this awful game.
It
to
has,
the point of
and
his
then
suicide.
And then when they all move into the house, the big mansion in Hollywood together, which they call Project Hollywood, he then starts complaining about how the fact that all of the other young guys in the house, all they ever talk about is the game, and he doesn't have normal conversations with them. And it's like, you did this.
Yeah, and he acknowledges kind of briefly that he created it, but in a way that says, I made them who they are. As opposed to, like, I taught them.
He does be either a very shit journalist or just a very naive person. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, your job is to be a journalist. You're supposed to be astute. Yeah. You're supposed to be watching people. Like, he doesn't seem to do that. He actually just gets sucked in without any self-analysis or, like,
it is mad. Like, I got the vibes from all of the stuff of them being in the house together. I just got the idea that he thought that he was better than all of them.
Because he was a writer.
But not because he thought... I feel like I got...
He thought he was more socialised as well.
He thought he was more socialised, more grounded, more normal, whereas all the other guys in the house had their own, like, weird problems. They were, like, you know, had shit going on, different mental health issues, or, you know, yeah, they weren't socialised properly, whatever. And so...
These are his words, not ours. Yeah. Like, these are maybe, people who, like, have actual
And it's just really weird the way that he talks about them in this way. And he kind of almost, like, frames himself... He frames himself as, like, the dad, like, the father figure in the house, which is interesting because so much of the book he talks about, in order to pick up women, you have to create your own framework. You have to create your own reality and invite someone into your reality rather than trying to live in someone else's reality. And so that's what he's doing throughout this whole book, is he's created the frame of the story that he's about to tell us, and he invites you, the reader, in. So you have no other framework to understand his story from, other than definitely. His own.
Yeah. What annoyed me was this was supposed to be, like, we'll get onto that later, but it was supposed to be, you know, a kind of, like, psychological, interesting, journalistic book about this thing. Yeah. And it turned into porn. Like, the way he described
it. Oh,
them,
God,
like,
there were some of the sex scenes.
Like, loads of the sex scenes. Some of them weren't that consensual, and they were all very graphic. And I was like, how long he took to describe them, he was obviously enjoying...
Bragging!
Yeah.
Oh my God, and the whole scene... Did you read the bit where he was just like, oh, I'm fucking a woman whilst I'm typing this, actually?
Yeah.
And then...
What?
Yeah. There's a whole bit where he was just like, oh, we're having sex in this position, and she loves it. She loves watching me work whilst we're fucking. And then the text... Like was like ask him to do you. And then there was a little footnote, and it goes unedited to keep authenticity.
It's her coming theoretically.
And I was just like
riding him whilst he works on his typewriter. I'm not joking. Also, want to mention really disturbing shit. It's casually mentioned when he is seeing this girl Caroline, the 19-year-old. And Mystery is trying to date her friend Carly, that they all had sex. He filmed it without their consent, and then spent an hour with Mystery editing it into a 6-minute best bits clip. That is just thrown in there, never mentioned again.
Casually.
That is completely unconsensual and terrifying. Can you imagine going back for a one-night stand, or even knowing, because these guys had developed relationships with these men, and finding out you've been filmed and that they watched it all back and re-edited it together.
There's so many, like, so this whole, like, not questioning your own actions thing.
Yeah.
And, like, so he says, like, as soon as you ask yourself whether you should or you shouldn't, that means you should. Later he reflects on that and says that might not be best, but he doesn't like talk about it in a and how it would affect the women. He never talks about it like it might have been non-consensual or pushed on them. He's like, oh, that kind of damaged me to think like that. And he's like, you know, the IOIs, which are indicators of interest.
Yeah.
An IOI is an indicator of interest. If she asks you what your name is, that's an IOI.
Oh,
if she asks
you
if you're
later.
Single, that's an IOI.
That came later, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't at the beginning.
And as soon as you get three IOIs, I phase shift. I don't even think about it. It's a computer program.
Oh, no, that's at the beginning.
Psychopath.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he writes a blog post on the forum, the online forum that they have, where he, like, says, oh, my God, we're all becoming social robots.
Yeah.
X, Y, we do, yeah, like, we're just fake programmed to do these certain things. I want to talk about the boys, like, because I call them boys, because they do feel
the
like... They're young, I feel, like, when they get kind of, like, sucked into
Can
it. Some
I
of them
one
are...
one more bit?
Yeah.
I just want to do one more quote of, like, disgusting male behaviour.
Yeah.
So, there's another girl. She's meant to be hooking up with Mystery. She climbs into Styles' bed, right? He says, sure, she'd had a few drinks, but alcohol has never caused anyone to do something they didn't want to do. It only enables them to do what they've always wanted, but repressed. Just in case you were ever wondering about the consensual nature
Did
of this
Chet
book.
Evans write this book?
Yeah, like...
Oh, my God.
Sorry, right, let's continue.
Yeah. I want to talk about the boys who get into PUA and are attracted to learning the game and things like that, because the vibe that I got is it's just... It's sad. Like, it's men who have had something lacking growing up, either childhood, adolescence... extreme
or bullying,
insecurity, social anxiety, and all I can think about is like there 100% is a need for men like that to find like a good group of like healthy good male role models and learn how like relationship skills and you know, how to relate to each other and like that like healthy like group ethic kind of thing, but it's not this. But it's those kinds of men that are drawn to this, and it's
it
true initially it gives them like confidence. And like self-belief and a purpose and all of this, but ultimately it's all a distraction.
Yeah.
It's not actually helping them. And there's a quote that obviously I can't fucking directly quote because my Kindle, but
never gonna get spawned by Kindle in this way.
Yeah. But it said something about it's towards the end where he's getting a bit self-reflective and everything. So Neil Strauss says, like, if the guys getting into it aren't misogynists when they find the game, they are by the time they leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was just like, yeah, fair enough. Because some of them, like, go into it out of desperation, not really knowing what it is, because it's sold to them as a way to, you know, because some of them, like, I want to meet a wife, I want to get married, you know, they go into it for that.
I just want to lose my virginity.
Yeah, or I just want to, like, lose my virginity, and I'm scared of girls, I don't know how to talk to girls. And in my head, I'm like, actually,
you feel sorry for them.
Yeah,
like,
these are totally valid concerns and worries that like everyone has, but I think there is a very specific kind of way that it affects young men.
Mm. And there's a certain level of like it is about masculinity, and they feel feels demasculinized.
But I just think the game not only preys on women, the game also preys on vulnerable men, and as we've seen, it turns them into misogynists. They just don't think of women as people. They are they are numbers, they are sets, they are you know, they're an objective, they're a goal, you've got to complete them. And also, like, you know, they're all running the same material, so they're all robots, they're all doing the same thing. It's not actually like, oh, get to know me, like, who are you, and like, you know, giving a piece of yourself to somebody else and like actually having that connection with somebody. But it's just...
It made me think about as well, because I was trying to question myself, like, are there ways that this does make sense in that when you train to be a therapist, or say if I was going to train women in leadership or like to be more confident in the workplace, would I be training them with set pieces to say, or like set conversation openers or ways to make somebody feel comfortable or ways to get a story out of somebody? Like, how
journalists,
you know, like that is
get that kind of training.
There's lots of stuff like that where we are trained to have a set list for people.
Yeah,
but then does it mean
it doesn't dehumanize them in the same way? And also, it's not about sex.
Because also, like in the minisode with Riyadh, we were talking about like how he makes people feel comfortable yeah. when he interviews them.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's more like what you intend to do with them afterwards. I guess. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's more like what they, their intentions rather than.
Yeah. Because we've all had to network and put on a brave face and kind of go in and have like conversation openers in a networking environment and stuff like, which is kind of usually in a bar around alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know where you're coming from.
You're always setting yourself a framework, I guess. So that bit was something that I felt uncomfortable with and then thought about it more and was like, oh, maybe it's just the way they're using it that makes me feel like shit.
Yeah.
And that leads on to my little teacher notes. Yeah. Teacher notes.
Oh, that whole section was the therapy, but there'll be more therapy
yeah,
throughout.
Yeah, I've got my favourite quotes off my chest. So there's a part in it that says, if you sit the average male down in front of anything halfway intriguing and explain to him that it has a system of makings that they can get better over time, he'll become obsessed. Oh, sorry, of rankings that he can get better over time, he'll become obsessed. So how do we feel about the framing of this book as self-help or psychology? My feeling is that he thought it was psychology and it always ends up in the self-help section of every bookshop I've ever seen
does
in.
It?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like...
this is not self-help, this is a memoir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it as a memoir.
So, like, this framing of it as a game, like, how do we feel about that? And, like, at what point does it stop being an analogy? And what point does it actually start being a game for them? Because I thought at the beginning, when they were talking about it, the first time they go to a bar, they're like, oh, yeah, don't worry, this part's not real. Pretend it's not real. Pretend it's just a game. And you're, like, trying to do a thing. And, like, they're telling themselves that as an analogy. And then at some point it becomes true.
Yeah.
And I'm like, was it okay at the beginning? And then it also links to, like, so... what's his name? Not style.
Mystery.
Mystery is a Darwinist, and he thinks that, like,
oh my God, it's all evolutionary.
Yeah, it's all evolutionary, and that's how he justifies, like, doing it. Like, how do we feel about that link to logic?
Disgusting, because that's how, I don't know about you guys, but when I've met really gross men who embody these kind of ideas, it is on an evolutionary basis, or like that scientific justification of any kind of idea you have about human nature really grosses me out.
Oh yeah. I think so because of the standard narrative of evolution and the way that, you know, we're all kind of brought up to think that men are this and women are this in terms of our sexual roles and biological roles or whatever you want to call it, our natural state. Fuck that.
Blah.
First of all.
But that's my sound review.
Blah. Yeah. But I feel like because of that standard narrative that we've all been taught, things like the game and the way that Mystery sees it is that it's one-sided. It's the man gaming the woman. And as, you know, I believe that the things in this book happened and I believe that the methods that these men use work. Like, I believe that otherwise, like, it wouldn't be a thing if it didn't work. So I believe that it works. And so why and how? Not because of evolution, but also, like, we're very used to seeing it man to woman. I genuinely believe that it could work the other way around if a woman tried to game a man. So I think it's a people thing. And a friend of ours, actually, we were talking to her about the game, and she said her friend, her female friend, read the book and uses the methods on men.
Oh, yeah.
And it works, apparently. And so, to me, it's like, you can't then use whatever bullshit evolutionary biological thing that you want to use. I think it's just we live in a patriarchy and that's kind of like the imbalance.
That's how. Yeah.
That's the imbalance that's happened.
Evolution ideas are always used to reinforce patriarchal norms.
Mm. Yeah.
That is the most intelligent sounding sentence.
Yeah, that's pretty
good.
Oh, yeah. But I just think that, I don't know, who figured out the game? But I genuinely believe that it could work either way. Like, does it work with, you know, in...
Women don't feel
Does it work
well.
In same sex?
I think it's
like,
also
attraction?
Like... Oh no, my thought's gone, sorry.
It went.
I feel like, well then, now we're talking about, oh yeah, it's a people thing, and we're all agreeing, and I'm about to be like, women are like this though, so maybe I take that back.
I think women are socialised to be more, like, to be more intuitive about the way they speak to people and be less scared, and when it's that thing of like, women are this mystery, we don't understand them, there's got to be a formula, how does it work?
Yeah.
And we've got to get the Lego out, put them... all the pieces together.
Socialised to blame themselves as well, to really internalise it, in a way that these men do blame themselves, but they also say it's because women are difficult, whereas I think women always think it is because women are difficult as well. Patriarchy, man, patriarchy.
Yeah.
But you, yeah. It would be very rare, I think, to see a female pickup artist community.
Yeah.
But then maybe,
I don't know. No, it's because of the you know, the context that we live in, which is patriarchal. And so, therefore, there are certain expectations that men feel because of the patriarchy that then leads them to needing the game in order to get women.
Yeah.
Whereas within a patriarchy, women, like, sit and wait for someone to come and pick her up. And so, obviously, if it was, like, flipped, then maybe you'd see more female pickup artists. But, I don't know. Yeah.
And just if it was femininity being invalidated by... by all the experiences they didn't have sexually as an adolescent, then maybe it would be.
Yeah.
Because it isn't femininity isn't invalidated by being a virgin.
Yeah.
It's actively kind of more encouraged.
Yeah.
Whereas, obviously masculinity prides, as a bigger concept, prides itself on sexual activeness.
Yeah.
Even,
definitely.
Even
there's
just
this,
getting
there's
a
this
wife.
Part in it that like and they analyze how women and men relate to each other, being like, men always want the gold and women always want the rocks.
Oh,
and the gold
God.
Is sex, a penetrative sex, and the rocks are things like dinners
and diamonds.
Wow.
And like
I want the sex.
The problem with Mystery and his girlfriend is that he's always getting the gold, but he's never giving her rocks.
Wow. And do you know what that's called, the problem in the relationship? Just a lack of communication and not managing expectations.
Yeah.
I think it's interaction with, going back to the first point, of like this idea of it being psychology, so NLP and like stuff like that, is like interesting because it doesn't work. Like it's like they go back to this thing as like, we're Darwinists and we're using psychology because that's science. And like this is just a science thing. Is really interesting because it doesn't work. It backfires on them. And I'm like, if this was based just on reason...
You wouldn't all be depressed.
Your hypothesis is shit. Do you know what I mean?
Doesn't it terrify that all these people exist in real life?
Yeah.
And that these people...
I've met them, probably.
Yeah, I was watching one of their YouTube channels.
Oh, what? They still got one?
Yeah. The guy... the character, fuck's sake. The guy in it called Tyler, who names himself after the Fight Club character, Tyler Durden. He has a YouTube channel. It's active.
Wow.
Yeah.
And think about how many women were left after that. Like, obviously, women have agency, and I doubt they were just magically picked up and then fell by the wayside. And obviously, they have some decision-making in that. But it's... I do feel a little bit gross when I feel like I've been manipulated by someone.
Mm.
And not just because I didn't see it coming, but also because I'm like, I beat myself up about it a bit. I'm like, I should have avoided that.
Yeah.
And how many women feel like that after having slept with these men?
This was published more than 10 years ago now. I think that we, as an internet community, are particularly sensitive, and in a good way, sensitive to manipulation.
Yeah.
Like, people get on the master post for manipulation now. You know, like, it's like, it's a huge thing. Whereas for them, it's like, we were only manipulating them. We weren't raping them. They take about that girl at the beginning, and she just lies there, and they take that as consent.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
She lies
still, and they just do stuff to her. And it looks like she's too terrified.
From
my perspective,
it sounds like
she's far too terrified to get away.
Yeah, and he's just, like, sucking her nipple, right?
Yeah.
And he's just, like, and he's... Oh, do you know what the thing that's most interesting is? He only thinks about himself in every sexual encounter.
Mm.
It doesn't matter if he's going down on her, he's thinking about how he's doing it.
Yeah.
Completely. Like, he's completely in his own head the whole time and never once considers how someone else feels.
Yeah.
Other also, than the men.
We haven't mentioned that... So, Style goes around collecting lots of different expertise from all different kind of, like, methods and parts of pickup and seduction and all of the things. One of the things that he learns is hypnosis.
Oh, yeah.
Literally learning how to hypnotise people into fucking it.
He's also being taught literally how to give women multiple orgasms, theoretically. I don't know how accurate that is. Can you hypnotise a woman into a multiple orgasm? Maybe.
Mm. Also, I thought it was really lazy just from like one practice. It was like, he only goes to clubs and bars. I'm like, where were the... And coffee shops.
He goes to a gallery. He goes to MoMA at one point.
Yeah, they do
some... Oh, because he finds the, like...
They
diamond
do some,
in the rough.
They do some day like, pick-upping...
A girl in glasses, which he thinks is racy and crazy.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, the way
and
women...
And it turns out that she's a model.
Can we talk about the way women are spoken about? And
well, they're all numbers out of 10.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, oh my God, that whole conversation. He has a whole... he documents a whole conversation with two women who he refers to as 10 and 11. And that is just the most... I can't.
And also, Mystery dates this girl who's a 10, apparently, and he hates her and he wants to break up with her. Yeah. But he's like, but there are only sevens in LA, so I can't. She's the only 10.
Yeah, and he wants to break up with her because she is not willing to have a bisexual relationship or bisexual experience with him and another woman.
He only dates bisexual women.
However, he's made an exception for her or something. It's so.
It's just fucked.
Every
man.
Woman is described. Exactly what they're wearing and how big their tits are. That is all.
Oh, and their ass.
And the hair colour. That's the other thing
Even if he is self-reflective at the end of this book, because loads of people are like, no, you've got to read it, then you'll understand. I'm like, I understand less now I've read it.
Yeah, I understand.
Do you know what I mean?
Like,
I don't think that it's really weird the way that people have spoken to me about it in this way of like, oh yeah, but he is kind of like self-reflective at the end. It's interesting. You should give it a read. And I'm like, I've gained nothing from reading this book. Like, nothing.
I've gained fear.
No, I feel like I've gained. Do you know what, actually?
I'm going to cling to the relationship I'm in so I don't have to go back out there.
Oh my God.
It's going to make me into a clingy bitch.
Do you think we've never, like.
Let's not send Lucy out there. We can't send her out there.
Do you think we've never, very obviously encountered PUAs because we maybe don't frequent certain kinds of bars and clubs?
No. I think we frequent those bars and clubs. I think it's more that. I've met my fair share of shitty men.
I know, yeah, but like those people. I kind of want to be picked up now. I want to be able to spot an opener.
I don't know. I've been picked up before. I've been picked up before, but more on the street. Like people will just walk up to you on the street. It's like their first. I've always assumed it was like the first challenge they're given.
Yeah.
And I get asked something, and I am always completely. This happened to me like 3 times in my hometown.
Really.
And I'm always completely deflective of it because I've got no interest in talking to someone I've just met on the street. I'm going somewhere, like I'm walking. And also it happened to me when I was in school skirt, like when I was in school uniform. It's like, because the thing is, it caught me off guard because there was just like a place, a clock tower you walk by, and there's like lots of people kind of like loitering there and just like hanging out. And it was always in that kind of an area, and a man definitely older than me would walk up to me and say something quite random as like a conversation starter, which now I realise what that is.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, what? Like, yeah. There'd be no, because I'm like, why are you talking to me? It's the middle of the street.
I'm 14.
Yeah. And like at one point I was 16 and 2 times I was older. But like, it's happened to me, but they've literally caught me almost.
Mm.
Like the same way that those charity people will.
Like they've like grabbed you. Like I've been grabbed.
I don't think. And maybe I got tapped on the shoulder. I wouldn't have been, because I always listen to music.
No, but they totally like advise against grabbing. Yeah. At least on the approach.
That's because they don't want to intimidate the woman, not because it's Not because they don't want to frighten her.
It's kind of like women are bears. Like, don't go from behind. Like, you have to, like...
it's like... Well, we're completely dehumanised in the whole book.
Like, in my opinion. I wish I'd found this funnier.
Yeah.
I wish they'd all, like, used the energy that they love in terms of, like, understanding social interactions and, you know... figuring out, like, oh, but then, you know, if I move in between them here and then I move stand in between these two bar stools and then I get her to stand up and then I sit down on the bar stool and then the power
down. He draws a fucking diagram
of it.
Oh yeah, I'm like, they're not chess, calm down.
No, but that's literally how he thinks of it. It's like he sees a set, i.e. a group of women or mixed, and like analyzes it and kind of goes, okay, this is my approach, and like it's like the amount of strategy involved in that. I'm just like, play a video game. I'm just like that. Leave the club and play a video game. You will enjoy it just as much, but less people will get hurt.
This leads on to my next question, right? So if this is self-help, which I don't think it is, but if that's its reason for existing, that's why it's a book, that's why it's allowed to be published, but it's self-help, so it might help the people that buy it, do something, whatever they're going to do, whether it helps them or not, but it harms other people. Is it still self-help? And also, would you ban this book? Or would you just
I wouldn't ban it.
Would you, like, what can, like, I don't know, I'm almost like, what can we do about this? Because it's always there. It's still
on
sale.
I wish it wasn't categorised as
self-help. It's still in all bookshops, like, currently. Like, even the small ones, it's always there. And you're like...
I reckon it needs a really good prologue from Catelyn Moran. Like a really good forward.
That would be prologue cool. From someone even maybe in the PUA community or someone who's...
Russell Brand
put
a quote on the second one, The Rules of the Game.
Oh, really?
Right on the front of the book that's like, this is amazing, it's helped me with loads of women.
But that's pre his sex addiction treatment. Yeah, it's the thing, like, all of these men are not in good mental state.
It does take a really dark turn at the end, for those of you who haven't read it, which is hopefully all of you. Like, where his friend Mystery, like, has, like, you know, is threatening to kill himself, has to be admitted into a mental health unit.
And then all
super
of...
super scary and
there's
sad.
This realisation that this house they're living in, what if they called it Project Hollywood?
Mm.
Two of the men in Project Hollywood have been gaming Mystery and Style in their friendship to make everyone hate them.
Yeah.
And then to get them kicked out of the house because they want the power in the house. And it's this. I wish it was developed more of it. Style has this realization when one of the people sits him down and is like, "This is what we're doing to you."
Yeah, and but it's also there's a lot of money involved in it because there's the massive house that they live in, but also they're all making a living from being pickup artists because they're running seminars and workshops, and you know this is their like livelihood and their income, and so by all you know they're not just being kicked out of the friendship and the house, they're being kicked out of the business.
Yeah,
and as soon as that bit happened in the book, I was like, whoa, plot twist. It's like House of Cards, Game of Thrones. Like, oh my God.
The one plot twist.
Game of Thrones and everything. Because what's their company called again?
Real Social Dynamics.
Real Social
which
Dynamics.
Which still exists.
Oh my God, I want to vomit in my mouth.
It reminds me of like in Big Brother when it's like Ministry of Truth is where they destroy real documents and Ministry of Love is where they kill people.
that's so true.
That's what it reminds me of.
Mention something, because I just remembered something. We spoke really briefly about if we gained anything from reading it and how you were like, don't go into the world of dating. Do you know what I gained a lot of perspective on from reading this book is we all seek validation through sexual relations.
Mm.
And I had not even thought about, I'd assumed it was a fault of mine. It's not a fault of mine. Everyone, like, as a fact of like, life wants validation from their sexual relationships and their romantic relationships, and when you remove that validation, they'll come back because of a deep insecurity of not being lovable. And that's not necessarily
like I said, it just works
on
people.
Yeah, like it just is like scarily human nature to want to be validated, especially through sexual contact or contact with someone you're attracted to. And that reaffirmed that. Don't know if that's a healthy thing.
I think it's a lot. It's very common. Like, what's the people's needs in this book is very recognisable.
Yeah.
Even if their actions feel really alien.
Yes, definitely.
Like,
I don't know. I just read it and was like, okay, my need to be validated is a universal need to be validated.
Mm.
I don't. I need to stop worrying about being validated in my dating because I'm not going to get it, or I am, but it'll be fickle and futile.
I think you're right. That the the needs and the insecurities of all of the people in this book, whatever their gender, it's just like a universal experience. It just so happens that, you know, some people have like figured out a way to manipulate that. And there's one guy in it called Sweater, who's Australian, who kind of like appears at the beginning of the book.
Oh, yeah.
Because he does the first workshop with Mystery. And then he's like one of the guys that goes like, I just really want a wife. Like, I want to find a nice...
Yeah.
Like,
he's doing PUA culture to get a wife.
He's like, I want to find a nice woman to, you know, marry, get married with. And he does. And he, you know, he gets married. And then, again, towards the end of the book, when everyone's lives are going to shit, so does this guy's life go to shit.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. He rings them up and he's like...
Because, basically, you know, he met his wife because he used the game on her. And then, as their relationship just continues, he's realised, actually, I was just gaming women. I wasn't actually getting to know them. And he realises he hates his wife. And then, because he's no longer, you know, doing PUA stuff and is, like, being his normal, I don't know, being his normal self again, she's just like, wait, who are you? Yeah. And so it's just like, it's not, you know. Not,
what are you really achieving?
The end of this book is framed in a really funny way because all of these criticisms come up, but we're kind of contextualising them as being sad. Like, it is sad, but there is no reflectiveness, really.
Not enough, anyway.
No, nowhere near enough. This all happens in, like, the last...
And it's clear
pages.
By the reviews and by the way people react to it, they haven't read the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's irresponsible about it.
It's literally like a Greek tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, it all goes to shit at the end, but it doesn't...
You're like, you mean that book where all the characters, like, die inside?
Yeah. It's like if you went and read Romeo and Juliet, but you finished reading it when they get married.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, you're like, that. Oh, great, they got married, like, happy ending.
Best love story ever.
And the thing is, like, you can tell he's depressed as a writer writing it, because there is... It's numb. I feel like the ending's a really numb ending. It's like,
oh,
everything
God.
Went wrong.
One of the things that I fucking loved in terms of his writing, every chapter ends on this, like, really philosophical cliffhanger. He loves to, like...
He thinks he's so deep.
He loves to, like, end a chapter being like, but not for long. like a little shit like
little
that.
Little did he know.
Yeah, it's just, like, really weird shit that he keeps doing at the end of chapters.
And I bet he finishes it. I mean, it's probably because he's writing while he's having sex, so he really thinks he's, like, the bomb. He's getting loads of, like, adrenaline through his body, and he's, like, deep.
Can we also mention, while we're talking about chapter structure, the feminist quotes that
Definitely.
At the beginning of every part, which is like a stage of the game.
It's amazing, isn't it? That's where the comedy really came into play.
But that's the one thing that I was like, oh, it's an app, like, whoever, because that's an editorial decision, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a male, nasty editor thought that would be funny. Is my guess. Like that's it is literally poking fun at feminism. Whereas this whole book, The Game, does not directly slag off anything that we believe. It's obviously questionable, but, like, you know, it's not it's not like, oh, those
feminists won't sleep with us, though.
There aren't these there's no, like, hating of feisty women. Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but you'd also think by reading it that feisty women didn't, like, exist in LA.
Oh, no, but there are some, right? There are some.
Really? Which ones?
Oh, no, there's, like, two. Like, that.
There we go.
There are. Courtney Love.
Yeah.
She didn't give a shit.
Courtney Love's friend, kind of.
She hasn't got time to, like, untwizzle the bags on bread, they tell us. She just rips open the bags of bread to get into the bread because she doesn't give that much of a...
I love that to be honest, the person that came across the best in this whole book is Courtney Love.
When she comes back to the house and she's like, I didn't come here to fuck you, by the way. Like, that kind of just, like, that's not
really
why I'm
surreal.
Here. I'm here to pay you some money I owe you.
It's really surreal. She lives with them for, like, multiple months in this house, if anybody hasn't read it, which is...
I didn't know she lived with them.
Hopefully.
I don't know how long exactly, but definitely at least a month, maybe.
So, like, I wanted to, if I had more time or fucks to give about this man, I wanted to look up these feminist quotes and see what the next sentence they said was, because I'm pretty sure he's taking the top of a paragraph that's actually really feminist and then just being like... So one of them is, it's like, men weren't really the enemy. They were the fellow victims suffering from an outmoded masculine mystique that made them feel unnecessarily inadequate when there was no bears to kill. And that's like, that's Betty, free from the feminine mystique.
Which is like,
I don't think that's the point of what she's saying.
I'm sure there's a very important developed point on masculinity in that.
Yeah, I know.
Why is that even put there?
Men shouldn't treat women like shit, but they don't include that bit.
It feels like it's appealing to the MRAs.
Yes,
like,
seriously.
That's literally what those quotations do, is completely unrelated to the plot, unrelated to the concept of the book. The whole book isn't about women hating. But quotes turn it into a woman-hating book.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's really, like, as soon as I opened the cover, it set a really,
really
bad tone.
Pseudo-intellectual kind of thing in it, where he, like, talks
that's
about...
That's what I got
I've read Ulysses twice, so obviously I was set up for this. I'm
boy.
Like, people who boast about reading Ulysses, I'm like, I don't have time for this. Yeah. And then also being like, I read Madame Bovary halfway through, just to let, you know, to understand how he caught Madame Bovary in his net. And I was like, doesn't she kill herself at the end of that book?
That's why I only read half of it.
It's like
reading Romeo and Juliet up until the wedding.
Yeah. It's like it's just this whole sense of like false intellectualism. That's just like, oh, like please, like oh my god.
Well, it's literally the kind of people you find on these forums. It's people.
Yeah. Oh, should we talk about the forums?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know much about them. I've explored 4chan very briefly, and...
Well, in the game, Neil Strauss basically, like, takes full extractions of, like, what they call field reports that men have posted online. And it's just, to me, if what he's taken are, like, the actual things word for word, like, verbatim, I'm like, is this, like, how these men talk?
Well, it's terrifying. I'm learning, like... I found out recently that a group of guys I'm friends with take a photo of the back of the head of every woman that they sleep with against a window, like when she sits up afterwards. Like, obviously, she's clothed and stuff, but they always take a sneak picture of every woman they have sex with and put it on the group chat at the back of her head. And I was like, I was like, it's kind of an in-joke. The way they see it is like, it's funny because it one time it happened and then they kept doing it. But I'm like, like, it's...
So there's an internet gallery,
on a private Facebook chat or a WhatsApp chat.
It's like the burn book, but for women. They fucked.
Yeah, but it's also like not of their, you know, it's completely anonymous in some ways, but also what are they doing?
Guess what, my Kindle's got its quotes back.
Yes.
So do you think it's just on your Kindle, not on your phone?
I don't know. My phone wasn't doing it either.
Our Bond deal from Kindle is going to come through now.
Anyway, okay, so point I was quickly going to make about that is just like... Yeah, point I was quickly going to make about that was literally just groups of people do really weird things and validate those things.
Yeah,
and that's
true.
How those men's forums work.
But that's... Doesn't it say at the end, like, if you set up like a situation where something is normal for like a large amount of humans, everyone else will fall in?
Mm. Yeah, and also worth mentioning as well, we've been having lots of discussions about this as a three lately, but... arguably, like the more extreme left side of feminist thought circles, and like, especially around conversations around prominent feminists, like that can be an echo chamber as well. Yeah. Or the same with any prominent left circle.
Like, it just normalizes every. Yeah.
In that way, I'm really glad I've read it, because this I think is like a seminal text for the people that I disagree with.
Yeah.
So at least I've read it.
Yeah.
They obviously haven't read the whole of Feminine Mystique.
It's like when I try and argue with Christians, but I haven't read the Bible, so I'm like, oh, well.
You don't need to read it for the
record. It's a time investment.
Yeah. Read the whole Bible. Read the important bits.
So one of my...
Lucy's analysis.
They're all important, Lucy.
One of my favourite things...
Relevant bits.
That was on a post that a guy had written on one of these forums who... joined the community because he wanted to lose his virginity, and he was like taking it very step by step, and his first post, like, to be honest, it's almost like adorable. It's like, guys, I like did this, it's really exciting, because he's looking for validation from the men in the community too. And he's
Is this extra, what's his name, extra mask or something?
No, this one's a guy called Adonis. He was just like a
sorry.
We should have had shots for this and, like, drank a shot every time some guy sounded like an idiot.
I'm going to be on an alcohol break.
So he ends his post.
You'd be drunk.
He talks about, like, how far he's come with, like, making approaches. Ayo. And then he says, I should be getting laid by the end of the year.
Oh, good for him.
And you're just like...
You don't have an allotment, and by the end of the year you'll have some sprouts.
It's like... At work, when you have certain...
Nurturing relationships,
you've got
radishes.
Certain, targets that you've got to hit Or else your boss is going to be mad at you.
Mr. McGregor of
from Peter Rabbit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like growing his lettuces.
I was like, you could try and get laid by the end of the week. You know, if you like find someone that wants to have sex.
It's babies that take 9 months to grow, not sexual. Yeah.
Not erections.
Oh my gosh. Oh, sick burn from moon.
Hold on, I want to see what these quotes are that I highlighted.
Read things that will make us sad.
Here's our final point. Have we got a final point?
That was my final point.
So the final point I want to be at is, how much of this do you think is real?
That would be so some quotes that I highlighted. One is when him and Lisa are getting together, you know, when he's like, oh my God, she's different because I can't game her. Oh my God. And he really wanted to have sex with her. And he just said, I just wanted to get the whole sex thing over so we could be normal together.
Wow. That is...
Yeah.
Women are not normal terrifying. When you want to have sex with them.
Yeah, it's that just is, like, can you not be normal around women that you have?
Like Georgian times.
Yeah, it's just show like, so like, by the end of his gaming, he literally objectifies every woman he wants to sleep with.
Yeah. One of my favourites was, this comes from a post that Mystery had written.
Skipping the post after a while.
This is when he's talking about this woman that he met, that he's like, I'm going to marry her. And he goes, the bros before hoes ethic only applies if you think the girl is a hoe. I was just like,
I remember that.
That doesn't beat around the bush, does it?
I was like, oh my
Jeez.
God.
Jeez.
My fave bit that I can just remember is like, Mystery, when he's like, I'm going to take over the world, I'm going to make all these workshops, and blah, blah, blah. And one day, I'm going to play Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah!
Says a lot.
And I was like, you have such a Christ complex that you literally want to play it.
He has so many dreams and ambitions. He wants to be, like, the world's greatest illusionist. It's so sad that he never does it, though. This is the thing. Like,
I think this just stuck to magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, just do magic.
Do you know what? I really like the character of Juggler, if you ever read him.
What does he do again?
He's a really chill pickup artist. And he picks women up without rules, really. It's like,
just
hey,
with
how
conversation.
Are you? Yeah, with conversation.
Isn't
and then he
what?
Meets a great woman and gets in a long-term relationship and drops out of the whole thing. And he just seems really lovely.
He's just like, peace.
Yeah, and the style describes him as like a really good friend, just like a really easygoing, nice guy. Anyway, that was all.
Yeah.
One good character.
I found the quote about the misogyny thing. Mm. So for terminology, sarging is where you go out picking women up. That's what sarging
is. It's so militant.
Yeah.
And bunk beds and I don't know.
And it says,
like the army.
Of course, it was also possible that my obsession came from a misogynist alpha male streak I'd accidentally contracted as a side effect of sarging.
It's not an STI.
Yeah. So it's like,
oh, I contracted it.
Oh, I became a misogynist. Whoops.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dear.
We all slip on
I'm now a misogynist.
We all have our bananas to slip on, Neil.
My God, he's playing a really intense Mario Kart, if that's his bananas.
Oh, and then I also highlighted the thing where I was like, that was the most beautiful thing I'd said in a long time.
Yeah. I'm glad someone else thought that was literally repulsive.
And then I highlighted at the end, you know, when he's getting all self-reflective and because he's deep and he's a pseudo-intellectual, he says, to win the game was to leave it.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
I remember reading that and just putting my head in my hands. Like, here we go.
Okay. Like, why are we laughing? It's not funny.
No, it is kind of
though.
Like, it's better.
Like, if we don't find it funny, then they win.
The bits where it was non-consensual sex made me sad a lot of the time, but a lot of the quotes are funny.
What is our advice for men who would be attracted to PUA community? How, like, what would our advice be to make them not go that route? And what would our advice be to women who maybe feel like they've been on the receiving end of it, or have read it and are now scared like ourselves? What would we say to
advice
these people?
For the men,
I acknowledge that there isn't enough spaces for men to share their feelings and build relationships outside of a sporting atmosphere.
Yeah,
I acknowledge that, but I also think, so I've been recently listening to Jess Phillips, who is an MP in Birmingham, and she worked for women's shelters a lot of the time. She wrote a book called Every Woman, which is pretty good.
Okay.
And she talks about men asking, why aren't you treating women and why aren't you treating men in this women's shelter? Like, where are the men? Like, why aren't you looking after them? Men suffer from domestic abuse as well, and like, part of her rebuttal is, yes, I know that, I understand that, but you should go and build them. Why are you running a men's shelter? Why is it my burden as a woman to do that? So I think for men, I'd say, I acknowledge that you don't have these spaces to relate to people. And if you can look at it objectively and look at what you really want out of going into pickup artists and industries, like, acknowledge that and maybe look to your own communities to build that. I'm not going to build it for you, but I would ask that you don't enter something that affects our community to do that. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want to acknowledge it enough to be like, oh, and we're going to build you a really safe space where you can, like, have bromances and be great. I'm not going to do that for you. Go no. and do it.
Because we've done it for ourselves.
What I'm telling you is don't do this. Yeah. Like, you know? Yeah. So
and
that's how I feel about
that. Understand the way that the dynamics of the internet works, and it works in the same way that we were saying earlier about extreme left thought and, like, what's the word? When echo chambers. As soon as you enter 4chan, as soon as you enter these MSN online communities, if you're in 2003, but, like, as soon as you enter Reddit and find the red pill, like, you
don't forget the side effect is misogyny.
Like, you are entering
And also, like, maybe mental health slash death.
Yes, yeah, yeah, exactly. Like,
it's literally depression killing some
and
of these
suicide. And learning ultimately, like, well, you literally will learn this if you read the whole of that book. Yeah. You will not be fulfilled. That's not the problem. It's the same with I'm going to bring the alcohol stuff up. With the alcohol stuff, everyone was like, there's a deeper rooted problem. And for so long, I was like, no, there's not. I'm happy. And then I was like, oh, there is a deeper rooted problem. There is always a deeper rooted problem. Address that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And also, I'm sorry that masculinity is so shit to you, because it really is.
Yeah.
Like, concepts of masculinity suck.
Yeah.
And then you shouldn't feel insecure about this.
I would also think that, like, this was written in 2005. We're onto you, bitches. Most women have known about some of these pickup tricks. And now there's probably loads of them. The cool people have listened to this podcast and they already know what you're trying
to pull. There's like 15,000 people who will have now heard.
Odds on any women you try this on, like, we'll spot your shit.
But also, ladies, if you want to have sex with someone and they want to have sex with you, go for it.
That's like part also of it. That. It's like slut shaming, isn't it?
But also, like, I think it's good to be aware if you're being gamed. And so then if you know you're being gamed, and then you can make a rational
choice. You still want to have sex?
You can make a rational choice of whether you go with it or not.
I think that I've probably slept with people that think that they're like, oh, I've really got it. And I'm like, no, I just felt like,
I just wanted to.
Yeah.
I've definitely slept with people who definitely thought that they persuaded me.
Yeah, like,
and I'm
that
like,
was
no,
there.
It was an active choice.
Like, you're like, surprisingly, I do actually want to have
I actually had to say to someone the other day, you realise I don't sleep with everyone I go on a date with. And they were like, oh. I was like, yeah, I know. Shocking. I make decisions based on my dates. Like, oh my God. Sorry, I've had a really bad month with men. So I'm just like super angry.
This is like a bad month.
To the game, because I'm just like losing all faith. I'm actually on a boy detox.
Why are you always like you're mirroring like what our books are? Like, what are you going to go through? Because like when you were reading Nina Is Not Okay, you were struggling with alcohol issues.
I was thinking like with that, because I was like instantly curious that he'd written, that Neil Strauss had written a book called The Truth. And then I read an excerpt of, is that how you say that? Excerpt.
Like Exeter.
A phrase. Excerpt. A bit.
Yeah. I read a bit of it and I was like, certain books trigger me. This will be that book because it's all about rehabilitation from like incredible, like horrible, nasty shit. And although I don't have that experience, it's still like reading about nasty
things. It was
things.
Really close to the bone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always close to the bone with stuff like that.
And this one's close to the boner.
Oh! Final note, can we ask, how true to life do we think this book is?
I mean, I don't doubt that the events in the book happened.
I think there's been a fair bit of poetic license.
I think, I think, well, they kind of skim over and it's like, oh, she was with her boyfriend and then she immediately started snogging me. I'm like, I feel like there were a few hours.
And like, his headspace is so convoluted and fucked up by the end of that book.
Exactly.
And he didn't
living
seek
in his
help.
Own reality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he didn't seek help for a long time. Yeah, the fact that he didn't seek help for a long time suggests to me he wrote this book in a really bad headspace as well, still in the PUA community in some way, and that a lot of it, that's why there's not enough self-reflection in it, because he's in a really dark headspace. And I think by the end of the book, you can see what a dark headspace he's in. The glamour's gone, but it's not analysing it. It's just numb. Anyway,
what would we say to women who feel like they have been tricked by these kind of things?
Not your fault.
Yeah.
Not your fault. We're like, sorry. Literally, I feel like anyone could be tricked by it.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Men as well, because you have to know the ideas behind it. It's quite subtle in some ways.
I will say, anyone who gives you mixed messages, this is for everyone, by the way, anyone who gives you mixed messages, plays hard to get,
Yeah, rejects you actively rejects you to get you to sleep with
and then comes
with
back
them.
And does that push and pull thing.
Power play.
Yeah, get you're not a mouse. Fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Because...
You're not a kitten with a string. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Healthy relationships are based on, like, hey, I'm really into you. Oh, I'm really into you too.
Someone said to me the other day that getting into relationships should not be difficult. If you and the other person really like each other and you want a date, that will happen. And it should not be painful. It should not be confusing.
Yeah.
It should kind of just naturally happen.
Things like that sound difficult in films because they make really great plot lines. Oh, like, yeah. All of the best love stories I've been in have been very short and boring.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, quick note. How do we feel about this in relation to Hitch? Because Hitch also has the premise. Haven't seen it. Oh, what?
Oh, my God, I need to rewatch it.
Question is, would you have sex with this book?
No.
No.
Categorical no.
I get this book chucked out by a bouncer.
Yeah. You know what? I'm physically repulsed by this book. I think this book needs to go to a lot of therapy and have a big think and maybe see its mum.
Oh, yeah. And work through its dad issues. They all had dad issues, didn't they? God. Jeez.
Yeah. And also just, this book needs to just talk to some women. Like not in a pickup way.
Oh, my God. The other thing that this book made me really scared of is, like, raising my own children. You know, just being like, I don't want them to, like, I want to make them feel, like, loved and so they don't, like, have to go down that route.
Yeah, but you will. And also, you're creating, you and lots of other YouTubers are like, creating an environment where this won't be the future. This is a funny book that stays in the past, hopefully.
Yeah.
Stays in the past.
This book is incredibly dated.
Yeah.
Like, it already feels it after 12 years.
And isn't that great that it already feels dated?
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We have a Twitter at Banging Book Club. Please go and follow us. And we tweet hilarious things. We
are like good gifts.
GIF Central. And on top of that, if you would like to leave us a review on iTunes, we would love that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And don't read the game.
Don't read the
but
game.
But do read Juliet Takes a Breath, which is our next book we are reading in July.
Yeah!
I'm so excited.
Is this a YA one again? I don't know much
It's a Leza YA one.
Oh, wow, we're getting them all out, aren't we?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Tell us if we're allowed to say that.
I don't know.
A lesbian YA, maybe.
Yeah.
Please tell us off if that was offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited to read it.
Me too.
Is it our first lesbian Banging Book Club book?
What?
It might be. We've read about trans couple.
We've
read about gay couple.
We're reading
about men. Yeah,
what is this?
I'm actually well excited for this, especially after watching Queer Britain.
Mm. Yes. If you haven't listened to our last minisode where we interviewed Riyad about Queer Britain, then you should also listen to that.
Do that.
We are so smooth, guys.
I know. Peace out.
Peace out. Bangers out.
Yep.
Banging, banging, love. Bang, bang.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.